the Rise Podcast. I'm Rachel Hollis, and I've built a multi-million dollar media company with a high school diploma and a Google search bar. Each week, we'll be sharing tangible, direct advice or inspiring interviews with the same intention. These are the tools to change your life. This week on the Rise Podcast is a special treat. My dear friend and mentor, Ed Milette, actually is letting us use an interview from his podcast when I was a guest. Ed was my mentor long before he knew who I was. He is one of my favorite people to follow on Instagram, one of my favorite podcast interviewers, and I know that you guys are going to love him as much as I do. Check out this week's interview from The Ed Milette Show.
Right now, this lady to my left, been working so hard to get her on my show. This is Rachel Hollis, everybody. For those of you that don't know who she has, been living under a rock. And so I'm going to give her a proper introduction. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so excited.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Of course. This is like a dream.
It's going to be awesome.
Yes.
So this lady, if you don't know her, there's something wrong with you, but I'll give her the proper introduction. So she's written 6 books. Her 6th one has gone crazy. Mm-hmm. And has made her a rock star, literally, in the personal development world. She has a #1 podcast in the world right now. Her book is blowing up. She's a sought-after speaker. She's got more speaking dates than she knows what to do with right now. And she's really making a difference in the world. She's changing the world. She's the new face of personal development. She is, I'm just going to tell you, there's just not enough women in this space. Mm-hmm. And then one comes along, it doesn't just kind of get into the space, but just literally dominates it and takes it over like you have. And so I have so many questions to ask you because our phone conversations have been so beautiful.
Yeah.
Because you're so self-aware and honest. And I think that's what's made you resonate with so many women and men in the mm-hmm. space. Because I want everyone that's listening to this, because I know the women right now are going, thank you for having her. And we've got your full attention. But I want the men to know something. There's not that many people in the personal development space where their content alters and moves me. And you do that for me. And so, men, you got a lot to listen to today as well. And this lady has my full and complete endorsement. Okay, I want you
to know that. Thank you.
So I want to start out. I don't want to go all the way back to your childhood because there's just too much that's happened recently.
Yeah.
But I do want to go back to where kind of the Rachel Hollis brand started. And so my understanding is it started with you kind of blogging.
Yeah.
When blogs were big. So take me back to that point, because I know, I'm assuming at that point, you didn't think all this was going to be happening.
No.
So you started blogging really about like kind of cooking and being a mom at the time. What was that called and how did you start?
So I owned an event planning firm in Los Angeles for a long time, and I was starting to feel burnout. I had built this company. I had gotten the clients, set up big celebrity clients, and had the fancy loft office and the team of people, and I didn't love it. Like, I just was really burnt out, searching for something else. And this was, like, end of 2007. So this is the early days of blogging.
Yeah.
And everyone was talking about blogging. And I thought, well, shoot, I'll try that.
Did you have kids yet?
I did. Okay. I had, 2007, I had one baby and then had another one in 2008. So I am the 0.1% of people got pregnant on birth control. That is a thing. Be careful. What happens in Vegas does not stay there. His name is Sawyer. He's 10.
That's awesome.
So I started blogging, have little kids just sort of trying to figure myself out, and it was the worst. Like, it was the worst blog you've ever read in your whole life. Didn't know how to take a picture, didn't know how to write, none of it. Not even my mom read it.
Was it called Chic?
So my company was called Chic Events.
Chic Events,
and then it was called, it was like dot blogspot. It was My Chic Life. That's what it was.
Okay.
So I start blogging, and I figure it out, and I start to build up a little bit of a following. And I'll never forget, Eggland's Best Eggs reaches out, and they say, we want to give you $250. If you will put our eggs in your next recipe. And I was like, hot damn. We are really rolling now. So I'm like, yes, I will put your eggs in my, So that was the first time that I realized that brands would pay for the opportunity to be in, to get in front of your audience. And because I had worked in this space with corporate clients for the longest time on the event side, I was like, I immediately started thinking of how can this be bigger?
Yeah.
So most influencers would say like, oh, let me see if I can get some more $250 things.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do I get Eggland's to sponsor me for a year? How do I get that? How do I go to on a bigger scale? How do I pitch something bigger? So I feel like we really had success in that space because from the very beginning, I was trying to make it where I didn't want to be an event planner anymore.
Yeah.
And I needed something to make that money for me. So it became blogging.
But it's interesting because the event planning thing, like we both say something. One of the things I love your content because some of it overlaps with you and I. Mm-hmm. I say it with a deeper voice than you do, and you say it with a prettier face than I have. So, but you talk a lot, and I believe this deeply, that life happens for us and not to us. So really, to some extent, though, the event planning had to happen first because it, did it give you some kind of an entrepreneurial or sort of business mindset, you think?
Yeah, it was. I had been doing events. I moved to Los Angeles at 17, graduated high school a year early, moved to LA at 17, get a job working at Miramax Films, which at the time was a huge production company, and I was doing events with them. And it was, just like young and dumb and like, oh, I could for sure do this myself. So I could for sure do this myself. And I loved, and I've had that from the very beginning, I loved the puzzle of being an entrepreneur. I loved, okay, how do we increase revenue? And how do we decrease costs? And how do we scale? And how do we, I like that still to this day excites me.
Did you have, so you get the puzzle piece, but were you, I'm just curious, because not everybody has this. Sometimes it's developed later in life. Were you, like, even back then, when you're, you started the blog, you're at Miramax, then the event planning, then the blog. Were you like a big dreamer? Like, I want to make a big impact? You were just like, I'm living my life and I'm going to start trying new things. Like, were you
the
a big dreamer?
The most massive dreamer.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The biggest dreamer. From the time I was a little girl. So I had a pretty hard childhood.
Why? You're the baby.
I'm the baby of four.
Why was it hard?
My parents' marriage was abysmal. Like the entire time I was alive and they were together was abysmal. Dad has a really bad temper. So I'm the daughter of a Pentecostal minister. And we were that, like, everything looks perfect on the outside. And on the inside, you know, punching holes in the wall, screaming. So it was really hard. My older brother was schizophrenic. When I was 14, he committed suicide. And I found him. And that was really, our family was already such, it was so hard. It was such a mess. And that shattered everything. Like there was no coming back from the loss of him. And I, from a very early age, just thought, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. And the only way I'm going to get out of here is if I do it myself. So that really started me on the journey of, Ryan died when I was 14. I was a freshman in high school.
My gosh.
And I was like, how can I graduate high school early? How do I take every class so that as soon as I'm able, as soon as I have the credits, I'm gone? So I did. I graduated as a junior, and I moved to LA without. I couldn't even sign the lease on my apartment. And I just hustled. I worked three jobs. I shopped for groceries at the 99 cent store. I just wanted out. And so I was always. I mean, that like the dreaming, like that carrot of. Dangling in front of me like someday, like my big someday was someday you would be able to walk into Target and buy something there. Someday, like the dreams that I had, like the big exciting thing in my life was when I had enough money to go to Subway on a Friday night and I would get a 6-inch sandwich and like Doritos and I would feel like a queen. Like it didn't, I just kept thinking if you just work hard. And I think the reason I wanted to start my own company is because I felt like, just like with my childhood, I want to live or die by my own sword. I want to be like, if I fail, it's on me. But if I succeed, it's on me. Nobody else gets to decide my destiny.
It's the first time since I've known you, I'm picturing you as that little girl. That's really interesting. Like, I'm picturing that little girl. She's still like totally there with you, by the way. She's right there. That's tragically beautiful, ironically, what that story is. I'm sorry about your brother, yet I actually know in some bizarre way God's hand is in
one
of the reasons you've been great. Why do you think, this isn't even any of my questions, I'm just curious, I'm fascinated by this and I don't know the answer to it. Why do you think so many of us people that have achieved come from such weird, strange, horrific, anxiety-riddled backgrounds? Do you have any theory on that?
I feel like when you walk through trauma or when you have a hard childhood or when you it's one of two paths.
It is.
You know, you're either going to be a victim, mm-hmm. and this is going to define you, mm-hmm. or this is going to be the leverage that you need to get to the place that you're going.
I believe that.
I heard, you know, I'm like the podcast queen. I love podcasts. Yeah. So I might actually, I said this to Lewis yesterday. I'm like, dang, I don't know if it's, I might have heard this on your podcast. Yeah. So forgive me if I'm about to like repeat you to yeah. you. But I heard something recently that I was like, oh, that hit me in the gut. Someone said, might have been you. Sometimes it's more powerful to have an anti-hero than mm-hmm. to have a hero.
Mm-hmm. I believe that,
yeah.
by the way.
And so
yeah,
for me, it was, I didn't want to be that.
Yep.
I didn't want to be that person. And I knew that the only way out was I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah.
So I think that understanding of life is happening for you.
Yep.
Sometimes it's startling to people because they're like, wait, you know, mm-hmm. your brother's death was for you. Your brother yeah. was mentally ill. No, but I believe it's possible to find meaning in what happens.
That's right.
I am the woman I am because of what I walked through.
Yes.
And I love my parents so much. I think they did the best they could with what they have. But if it wasn't for how much they struggled to parent us, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be the woman I am today.
I totally believe you on that. And by the way, I think successful people just kind of repurpose the messes of their lives mm-hmm. in ways that other people don't. One thing I want to also say to some of you, too, that are listeners, because we're both examples of this. You clearly made that decision younger and sooner than most people that you were going to go on that better path. Mm-hmm. But some of you listening to this have been down the wrong one for years. So you've used these events in your past to define you in a negative way or as an excuse, or you use it as your current story, even though it's your old story. The good news is that the timing of when you choose the different path can happen at any point.
Absolutely.
So just because you didn't choose it when you were 19 or didn't choose it when you were 25, you may now choose at 55, mm-hmm. the new path in your life, and you can find the same happiness, bliss, and achievement we found by choosing it younger.
Yeah.
True?
Yeah. Well, I would also say oftentimes when someone goes through something hard, they have this perception that it made them weak. Mm. And man, it made you a warrior. Like you have these scars. You have these scars, yeah. like these battle wounds, but don't miss the point. Don't miss the message. Don't miss who you might be just because the getting of these scars was hard.
Gosh, that's why the dudes I told you, like she's talking to you just so you know too, because it's not the events of our life that define us. It's our meaning.
Yeah.
And when you attach the meaning, just so y'all know this, I've been reading a lot about this lately myself. It's because we all know it's the meaning we attach to the yeah. event, but that meaning creates an emotion, and it literally, that emotion changes your blood chemistry.
Yeah.
And so it's so powerful to define the event correctly so that it serves you. Just ask yourself, is the meaning you took from this serving you?
Yeah.
Or do you need to find a new meaning that serves you better, that gives you a better emotion? Because it's literally going to change your blood chemistry
yeah.
in your body and your brain. That's how important this
yeah.
stuff is. So I love your message
yeah.
and I like resonate with it because I picture this little girl. It's just interesting because I'm a little bit older than you, but I picture the anxiety in my home too. And if you'd have gone back and put a camera behind our front door and seen some of those days where I was in such turmoil and stress mm-hmm. as a little boy, and then you switched the camera and you went into your home and saw this precious little girl going through what she was going through and said, hey, both of you are going to end up at Oceanfront and Laguna Beach
yeah.
someday teaching people how
yeah.
to live better lives and be happier. So God uses each of us in such mm-hmm. beautiful ways that we can't even begin to imagine
Absolutely.
When we're going through these things.
Absolutely.
And he is using you. I mean,
yeah.
I just love how he's using you, and
yeah.
I love that you embrace that. I also love, I want to shift a little bit from the blog to now.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I find also is you're a personal development addict, an improvement addict, so
Absolutely.
Am I. And I think oftentimes people that are like you and I and like the people listening to this, we're that way because we come from such a faraway place. Like I had to learn the tools to build my
yes.
confidence. I had to learn the tools to think better and more clearly because I came from so far away. I was so insecure, so shy, so introverted, such low self-esteem that I had to learn these tools.
Yeah.
And so I think that's similar for you too. And I think what's powerful about your content is that as I understand it, you've got this blog, which was kind of cooking and family
yes.
and mom stuff, which is unbelievably powerful. And then you personally started to go on this personal development
yes.
journey.
Yes.
And you kind of brought the audience with you
yes.
to some extent.
Yeah.
So speak to that. How did Rachel Hollis happen?
It started with anxiety. I
yeah.
was about 5 years ago, I started having debilitating anxiety attacks. And I had a team of people who were counting on me at work, and I could go to work and I could function, I could take care of my kids, and I would get in bed at night and just freak out. And my husband had never experienced anything like it. He would say, babe, what's wrong? And I'm like, I don't know, but it's bad. And it got so bad that I felt like I was probably going to have to be on medication. And wow. I so support, if you need to be on meds, take your meds, do what you need to do. But I had in my family and my extended family a real history of abuse with that. And so it's almost petrifying to me, the idea of having to make that choice. So I was like, sister, you are either going to get past this or you're going to have to go that way. And so I started going to therapy and got to the bottom of why the anxiety was happening. And for me, it all really came down to like really bad people pleaser, really bad people pleaser. So I had to identify my trigger. I had to understand that if I felt like someone was mad at me or if I felt like someone was disappointed in me, it would derail everything. And once I had that tool, I was able to start to navigate around it. And then it was the first time in my life that I was like, oh, you could, now I knew you could teach yourself business or, but oh, you could teach yourself how to think. You could, you know, you could figure out the tools. And if I can get past this anxiety, what else could I? So then I just became voracious. I wanted to read every book and I wanted to listen to every podcast. And as I started to talk about it, just like in the way that you would say, you know, hey, I'm on the beach today. I would be like, hey guys, I just left therapy. And women who followed me on social were like, why'd you decide to go? And how'd you find a therapist? And what do you talk about? And is it hard? And does like all the questions. And I realized, oh, there's something here. There's something here. Like other people are not, maybe we take for granted, you know, living in LA. But if you're in Ohio, like, you know, there aren't moms at soccer who are like, I just met with the therapist.
So true. Panic attacks. Wow, I never thought about that.
So I just started to lean into that as they responded to it. And really the success I've had in my career is I've always just listened to what the community is asking me for. And so I went on this journey and I kind of took them along for the ride. And I went to, in this path, I went to UPW, which I sound like, you know, so cheesy, but it changed my life.
I think a lot of you think, well, this mess I've created in my life sort of disqualifies me from helping other people. It's probably what qualifies you the most to help other people. The fact that you're broke right now is what will qualify you to teach people how to not be that way someday, broken or broke financially. But where you are unique that opened my mind, and I want to address this now, I want you to speak to it, is personal development for the most part has been dedicated to hardcore business people. People really trying to achieve building a big company or building the ultimate body or real wealth accumulation, which it should be. But there's this whole other segment of the world that I've discovered since I've been in this space, particularly when it comes to women. I think people in general feel invisible in the world today. And I think that's true for men. But the more I don't know why that gets me emotional. The more I've been speaking to large crowds, I see these precious souls, these ladies that I see, and so many of them feel invisible in the world because maybe they're not trying to build a $400 million company, or maybe they don't look exactly like the world tells you you should look, and they're not told enough that you're perfect as you are, that you're beautiful, that you're perfect for this moment. Doesn't mean you don't want to change to step into the next moment. You know that you can, by the way, be beautiful and perfect as you are right now, and not be the person that you need to be in the next moment. But for now, you need to accept how beautiful and perfect you are now. And you filled that space up, I think, better than anybody. And so talk about that. There's there in my audience, there's some super achiever right now. Their spouse is riding with them in the car. And they're thinking, this isn't really for me. But it is for them, isn't it? So talk about that.
Well, so the work that I'm doing today really was from that first UPW experience. I had this great time, and you know how much I love Tony, and he's one of my heroes. But I remember sitting in the audience thinking, what does this look like for women? What does this look like for a stay-at-home mom? What does this look like for someone who isn't an entrepreneur? Because they need this message. They need to know that they are called for something better. They need to know that they are in control of the way they think. They need to know that they're in control of their lives. And that really was what started me to kind of lean in was like, man, I'm looking around and I'm really not seeing anybody who would offer advice or say it the way I would say it. And I have been online with women for the last decade. Yeah. So I knew what they were struggling with, and I knew because they send me the questions, right?
Yeah.
So I was actually in Ethiopia with a friend of mine, Jen Hatmaker, who's a big speaker and writer, like one of the biggest in this space. And we're on a bus in Ethiopia. And she says, like, at the time, I didn't know her very well. So she's just like a hero, much like this.
Yeah.
And she sits down next to me, and I'm like, holy crap. Oh, my gosh. And she says, hey, sis, tell me about your next book. Mm. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Well, so they're superheroes. And that, because I started in fiction.
Yeah,
I write fiction.
I know. Yeah.
So I'm like, and I start describing. She's like, oh, my, no, 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 no. Tell me the book of your heart. She says, if you could say anything to women, what would you say? And I had never thought of this, and I had never asked myself that question, but as soon as she said it, it fell out of my mouth. You're in control of your own life. And I think, like, she said, well, explain that to me. And I said, you know, it's just like all these women all around the world sending me notes and emails and DMs, and they're saying, help me save my marriage. How do I get my son to stop using? How do I stop abusing myself with food? They're asking. And what I want to say, I can't say because it sounds mean, which is stop reaching out to a stranger on the internet and fix your own life. Take control. So, because even that, even asking someone on Instagram, you're still putting the onus on someone else.
Yes.
You have to take responsibility here.
Yes.
And so I start saying this to her, and I'm like, you know, it's like, girl, like, stop crying. Girl, pick yourself up. Girl, get off the ground. And she says, girl, wash your face.
There it is.
And I wrote the first chapter to the book on the flight home from Ethiopia.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the book, by the way. It's on the screen right now. It's on the screen, but it's Girl, Wash Your Face, and it's sold a bazillion copies already, but we're about to sell some more of it. And you do, I pulled some stuff. So I want to ask you about a couple things. Like, you're hardcore. Like, I love what you've said, because there's this whole, there are millions and millions of people who need to hear what you're saying. And the personal development space has been this little tiny segment of the world. There's this whole other place. And by the way, these are the people that are charged with raising the next generation of people. These are the people who are, because you mothers out there that are listening to this, your beliefs, your identity is being transferred every day to your children. Your example, how you think, how you act, how you feel about yourself, right? In your role, which is the most important role in the world, is to be a mother. And by the way, the ladies listen to this, almost now 70% of all new businesses are being started by women. And somewhere around 77% of all the successful businesses are being run by women. So this is really a real new time.
Totally.
And you're leading this movement, but you don't pull any punches with these ladies. So you along the lines of what you said, talk about this for a minute. You, in the quote from the book, you and only you are ultimately responsible for who you become and how happy you are. The reason I think that's important for women to hear is I think oftentimes that's deferred to, well, if my children are doing well, I'm happy.
Yes.
If my husband's happy,
ooh,
I'm happy.
Yes.
So can you speak to that for a second?
Okay. So I'm gonna go on a small rant for a second.
Rant.
I have this belief that most women, all the women I know, most of the women I have ever met, were raised from the time they were little that to be a good woman is to be good for other people. So if you're a good mom for your children, if you're a good wife for your husband, if you're a good sister, daughter, friend, then you're good. And the hard part about that is, number one, your value is fully wrapped up in someone else's perception of you.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
The other thing is, I don't know ever that anyone is deciding that you're a good mom because you're taking care of yourself. No one's ever like, oh, Sarah. Sarah, look at Sarah training for a marathon. She's such a good mom. You know?
Such
nobody
a good
ever
point.
Says
That's
that.
So true.
And so there is this idea that you've got to show up for other people or you don't have value. And that's even crazier when you think about, like, what about the women who don't want to have children? What about the women who aren't married? What about, so they have no value because they can't, it's crazy.
That is crazy.
It's also, when you're a little girl, from the time you're little, it tends to be that you get recognition from your parents when other adults recognize you as something. So they'll be like, oh, your daughter's so cute. Oh, your daughter's so sweet. She's so funny. So you learn, oh, other people's opinions really matter. And this is, views are like, what are women just drowning in? Like, what is crushing women at other people's opinions?
Bingo.
They live their life terrified of failure, terrified to try, terrified that they're getting it wrong because their mother-in-law will disapprove, or the girls that they went to high school with, you know, they're going to see me on Facebook and they're going to watch me. It's crazy. Mm. It's crazy because those people that you're so terrified of their opinion of you, those people are not the ones who will live with the regret. Those people are not the ones who can't afford to take their kids on vacation. Those people are not the ones who are struggling for it. Like all these things that you want for your life, but you're too afraid to reach for because of what other people will think. Mm. Those other people are not going to be there when it sucks and it's hard for you. That's all on you.
So I get so
fired up about this topic.
Wow.
And I also believe, like, so most little boys, I know not everybody, but most little boys are taught this idea of, like, you have potential. You're supposed to reach for that potential or try and be a better version of yourself. And frankly, most little girls are taught, you know, to reach for men. Like, hey, find yourself a husband and then you'll be doing well. Mm. And this, I believe in my heart. Like, have you ever seen those movies? Of course you have. Where like someone like gets bit by a spider or they take a pill or whatever. And all of a sudden they have access to all of their mind instead of just a small percent. I feel like that's what's happening to women in the world.
Consciousness is changing.
Like, if they just took, like, even if the smallest percentage of women, even if just the women who are listening to this, took one single step in the direction of who God calls them to be, I think that the results would be atomic.
My gosh. Like, the way you just said that, I had not completely really thought about how a little girl is programmed to be that way and how a little boy is often programmed the difference. I have this philosophy, too. I don't know if you share this or not, because I want women to hear this. I think the symptom oftentimes is our addiction to other people's approval. Mm-hmm. I feel like the disease sometimes is we don't have our own.
Yeah.
We don't feel like God has our own. And so we seek it outside of us. Now, what you said that takes it a level deeper for me is that this is programmed since I was little.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't just become this way. It was sort of, I was told that my value is if other people approve of me, right? So I think it's an internal game. I think the way you change that isn't just deciding, I don't care what other people think. I think that layer past that is, I need to begin to think better of myself. I need to begin to build my self-confidence. I'm a big believer that self-confidence comes from keeping promises that you make to yourself. Mm-hmm. That if you can start by just keeping the promises you make to you, you begin to build a reputation with yourself of, I can trust me, I like me, I'm good, right? I can achieve. How can that apply for a woman in any area? What would be some of your recommendations of how to change that? That's a hard question.
Yeah, no.
But what are some practical ways somebody can begin to change that?
So I'll tell you, for me, the big realization was it all comes down to, I want love. Mm-hmm. I want approval. Mm-hmm. I want notice. I want all of these things. And I was drowning. This is where the anxiety came from. I had this desire in my heart to be an entrepreneur and build something big and write books and do these things. And our family, our extended family on both sides, wanted me to be a stay-at-home mom. Mm. And they really, really struggled and were very vocal about the fact that I wasn't, because that's what their lives looked like.
Yep.
And so for me, I was just drowning in that feeling of, I think I'm called to do more. Mm-hmm. So I will pursue this version of more, but I'll do it kind of in secret.
Incognito,
like,
almost.
I'll work really hard, but I won't ever talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I was being pulled in too many directions. And when I had this realization, like, oh, I'm going to choose to be so full of love, to love everybody else so well that I don't seek it out in other people.
Exactly.
Like,
right.
I'm going to love you so hard, everybody, even the people that disapprove of me.
Very good.
That I don't need your love because I've got enough for both of us.
Very good.
Like, it sounds a little cheesy, but that really was what changed it for me, was you don't have to keep chasing this thing. Mm. It was also the understanding that God made me this way.
Yes.
And for the longest time, I felt shame because I didn't want to be I respect the crap out of stay-at-home moms. It's the hardest job in the world.
I know you do.
But it's just not my thing.
Yes.
And so I had shame about that.
Yeah.
Like, massive shame about...
Don't you think the reverse is also true? There are some stay-at-home moms who feel shame that's their calling.
100%.
Neither one of those should be
100%.
Shameful. Go ahead.
Yeah, so for me, it was, if God put this desire on my heart, and if he called me for this, then I can't be wrong at my core.
Of course not.
Like, certainly you could, that could manifest in unhealthy ways.
Sure.
Or you could, but maybe this is for a reason. Like, maybe that, like I said this all the time on stage to women, like, man, maybe that, like, you keep feeling that tug on your heart. That's there for a reason.
You got it.
That's God. That's your potential. That's, like, trying to say to you,
yes,
step into this.
Yes.
Like, that is your heart, like, begging your mind to, like, get out of the way. Like, come on, man.
Yes.
We were called for something. So, for me, that understanding was, like, you know, you are loved and worthy and enough, like, as you are.
That's beautiful.
And that means you don't need to become someone else. That means, like, who you are at your core, you're doing okay.
Yeah, that is so beautiful. It's amazing you say that. I just want to acknowledge a few things. Like, I love that. And no one's ever said that to me ever. And some of the stuff you say gets me, girl, just so you know. Because I over these years of seeing all these precious, beautiful women in the crowd and them struggling with feeling guilt. Like, men don't have that. Like, men, whatever we want to chase, we have no reason to feel guilty about.
Yeah.
And men listening to this, let me say something to the men listening to this. Would you stop once in a while and just start to tell your lady how amazing she is and how much you love her and how beautiful she is?
Yeah.
I'm talking about your sisters, your mother, your wife, not just your wife, right? Tell the women in your life how spectacular they are. Acknowledge them a little bit more. They're always acknowledging us.
Yes.
So proud of you. You look so handsome. You're doing so well. Thank you for all you do. And we very rarely acknowledge our women. Let's make sure we're doing that, men. But the other piece of it that struck me in what you said right there was, you know, women, I think, oftentimes never give themselves any quiet time, whether they have kids or noise or their job. And, like, if you would just get quiet, for you and I, it's prayer. For other people, it's meditation. For some people, it's just solitude.
Yeah.
Like, if you'll get your head out of the way, as you've said. I made a post about this today. People win with their heart, not their head.
Yeah.
You're going to be happy in life with your heart. And the more your head begins to take over and convince you of your deficiencies, what your setbacks are, what you're not good at, what your liability is, what people will think, the more your head takes over your life, even though you got to be smart and execute and all that, the more your head takes over, it kills your heart. And when your heart stops beating, you're dead.
Yeah.
And so you could be living, but you're really dead. And so what you're really saying is get quiet, listen to your heart, and don't be ashamed of it.
Yeah.
Like, I love it. So,
good.
Okay. Let me give you a couple more things you've said that this is kind of hard. Our society makes plenty of room for complacency or laziness. We're rarely surrounded by accountability. We're also rarely surrounded by sugar-free vanilla lattes. But when I really want one, I somehow find a way to get one. What did you mean when you said that?
You know, the idea that if you want something, it's like if you really want something, you'll find a way. If you don't, you'll find an excuse.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
you gotta get resourceful.
Yes.
Right?
And I think there is this, I feel like the tide is shifting, and I hope that this is true. But so often I feel like women especially, like, it feels like their life is living them. It feels like life is, it's all just happening to them. They're sort of getting pulled along with the tide. They're not making any choices. They're not taking control. So it's the norm, right? It's normal to go, you're exhausted because you were dealing with the kids all day, and then you're going to go watch, you know, Netflix all night and drink too much and numb yourself to what's going on and then wake up tomorrow and do the same thing again. And it, because they don't ever have that space, because they never take a step back and look at their life from like 50,000 foot view, they don't even understand that they have control of how to change it.
Ooh, boy.
And you might not have the tools. I'm going to quote your podcast to you again, or I think it was yours, but Joe Dispenza said, in an age of this much free information, ignorance is a choice.
Correct.
So you might not know how to change things.
Yep.
You might not know how to get healthy. You might not know how to change your marriage.
Yep.
But it all exists on the internet right now for free.
So true. Like, you didn't, gosh, you're good. So like, no, but I want to say this to you. Like, you didn't know how to blog when you started a blog. People say, man, how'd you build this giant podcast that I have? Let me tell you how this actually started.
Yeah.
I went, you're going to think I'm crazy when I say this, but I want to validate what you've said, okay? I've never said this before either. People ask me, how'd you get this big podcast? I said, I didn't even know what a podcast was.
Yeah.
And I Googled how to start a podcast.
Yeah.
Here's how stupid I am. I'm like, how does what I'm saying get into the machine?
Yes.
And how does that machine put it on the internet?
Yeah.
And then how do people get, like, I was that basic.
Yeah.
And I Googled how to start a podcast. And there was the first search was Tim Ferriss. His toolbox for how to start a podcast.
Yeah.
It said, go to Amazon and buy this equipment.
Yeah.
I bought the equipment. And I started talking into the microphone he told me to buy.
I love it.
And then, but he didn't tell me, how do I get it out of the machine onto the internet?
Yes.
So but I'm just resourceful. You just start taking the steps.
Yes. Hey guys, we're going to take a quick break. While we're gone, listen to these awesome things we have coming out from the Hollis Co. I think you're going to love them as much as we do. Guys, Rise in Minneapolis sold out. Our annual women's conference actually sold out in 27 minutes. We know, it's kind of insane. And if you are one of the people who so wanted to go, don't worry, we are adding another date. So save the date, July 18th through the 20th. We have no idea where, we do not know what state. We literally chose the only weekend I had free in the summertime. And you guys, it's gonna be epic. So stay tuned.
Men, do me a favor. Ask your woman what she'd like.
Yeah.
Ask her, babe, what do you want? What would make you happy? Is there anything we should be doing together or you should be doing to fulfill you more?
Yeah.
Like, just ask her.
Yeah.
Because they ask us all the time.
Yeah.
Right? So I want to acknowledge that. But there's, speaking of marriage.
Yes.
So when we first connect, everybody.
I forgot about this.
Okay. I get this email from her that says, before I say anything, I want you to know I'm very happily married and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, well, okay. She goes, I know maybe I don't need to say that, but I'm just going to say this to you.
Yeah.
And I thought, no one's ever sent me that email before.
Yeah.
And I thought, if I were your husband, I'd feel so blessed that my wife cherishes our relationship to this extent. Dave's probably didn't even know you did that, but Dave, that's what she did.
Yeah.
When she first emailed me. What's made your marriage work? Are there any things you'd say? Like, you have a normal marriage like I do. It's not perfect every single day. But what has made your marriage work? And why is it such a gigantic, obviously, it's a huge part of your life. But
I would say in that exchange, it was the first time I was sending you a note. And it wasn't just about being respectful to Dave. It was also being respectful to your wife.
Perfect.
And so it's just... I just, you know, it's like weird. Like we had not met each other and I want to be like, I'm very normal. So I would say he is my best friend. Mm. He is my best friend. Mm. And we met when I was 19 years old. Mm. And instantly we were buddies. Mm. And that has been the core of this relationship for 16 years.
Mm.
And I really think I got a hard hand as a child, and I think God was like, you're gonna get the best man.
Oh.
Like, I'm gonna give you the best partner.
Mm.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
See that name? See that's pretty good.
But I think we have had fun. We laugh every single day.
Talk about happy hour.
Happy hour.
This is a little tool, but I like that you guys have your own happy hour.
We sit out on the back patio and we look at it. We live in Texas Hill Country, gorgeous land, and we sit out with our drink and we just talk about the day or hang out with each other. We do every single week, every week we have a date night. It's like sacrosanct in our relationship, and our kids know it. They just know, hey, mom and dad are going on a date this week. But I also think we have had conversation. What are the values that we have in our marriage and in our relationship? Who do we want to be in this space? How do we want to parent? And every single day we want to reach for that. Now, certainly we don't always get there, but we are in alignment on who we want to be and the steps that we're going to take to make that happen. We don't want a good marriage or even a great one. We want an exceptional marriage. I also feel like I get a crap from people for this, but my marriage is my most important relationship. Like, that comes before my children.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be whole and solid for each other or we can't show up for these babies.
Mm-hmm.
And also, those kids are going to, we're going to launch these humans into the world and then we've got each other.
Yeah.
So that's got to be healthy and strong because I've got a lot of years left with this man, God willing.
Yes.
It's the intentionality behind who we want to be and how we want to show up.
Yeah, I notice in a lot of your writings and stuff, and when you do stuff together, it's your intentionality. It's also your habits and rituals. Like these date nights, this happy hour stuff, right, is we just don't do it in our marriages enough.
Yeah.
By the way, you're really right about that, too. Those of you that have young kids, you got to be really careful that the entire identity of your marriage isn't wrapped up in just conversations about your children.
Yeah.
Even though they're the center... focal part of your life, but there is going to be a point where they are going to leave and you're going to be faced together.
Yeah.
And you better have a loving dynamic and a relationship where you really have something of interest in each other, too.
Yeah.
So That's so huge. You also talk, and I hope you'll talk about this just for me, because I'm just curious about it. You're like me. We both let people know that we have faith, but we're not so, I don't know if I would say, pushy
yes,
with it to the
militant,
point where it
yeah.
would repel somebody. But how important is your faith in your life?
I am the woman that I am because of my faith. I don't know how I would have survived the childhood that I walked out of or the years that came after if it wasn't for that relationship with God. And it wasn't always good. Like, my faith has been tested many times. There were whole seasons of life where I was angry at God, where I didn't want to be in relationship. And I feel like, but that, I don't know, that presence has always just been a part of my life. And even when there's been anger, we're still talking. You know, even when I'm like, I'm mad at you, I feel like God's like, that I can take it. Let's go. So it's been a massive part of, it is a massive part of who I am. I think it's really been interesting to navigate this space because in the book, I do talk quite a bit about my faith. And then that brought in a wider audience who had a perception of what it meant to be a Christian. And then were equally upset when I did something to step outside of that for them. So,
meaning what?
Give me an example. I put a post up a few weeks ago, and I honestly didn't even think anything of it. I was sitting on my back patio having wine.
Yeah.
And people lost
their
minds.
So we're in big
trouble
right now.
Oh, we are. We have offended half of America.
Okay.
But the people were so upset. You know, you said you were a Christian and you're drinking and you're perpetuating. And I was like, first of all, whoa.
Right.
Secondly, for me, the tenet of my faith is love thy neighbor. Like, that was our call to arms. They shall know we are Christians by our love. I don't ever want, you're never going to find it in my bio. You know, people are like, they put that in their Instagram.
Yeah.
You better know that I'm a Christian by the way I live my life. Not the words that I write somewhere. So if that's your definition of how someone is being Christ-like or following the footsteps of Jesus, like me having one, we have a bigger problem.
We got an issue.
And it is a problem in this space because there's so much divisive, angry lines in the sand. You have to be like this or you're not allowed in our club. And I'm just like, oh man,
right.
I love y'all. I want everybody here.
That
Get
goes back
here.
To what you said earlier, by the way, loving enough for both people,
exactly.
right? Like that's
exactly.
it's beautiful. And me too. I get a little of that. I'm okay that you're drinking wine, just so you don't want to validate because you can't.
Great.
And you and I love people of all faiths, all different walks
Everybody.
Of life.
Everybody's
I love people.
Welcome here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's why you and I are going to change the world together. I also want you to know something, everybody, that one of the reasons I do this show and that it's so important to me that you were here today is I think the world is more divided, more divisive, and more angry than it's ever been.
Oh my gosh, totally.
And there needs to be a force for good in the world.
Yeah.
And I think that force for good is real people. It's a grassroots movement. It's entrepreneurs. It's mothers. It's fathers.
Mm-hmm.
It's good people saying, hey, we love each other. We don't agree on everything, but we love each other. We're all put here. The foundation of our faith is that we're all brothers and sisters, right? And so we're here to help one another. And that's what this is doing today.
Yeah.
You said something, the antidote to that in Girl, Wash Your Face, which if you've not gotten this book, men and women both go get this book. I've probably never read a book so quickly. One thing about the book that's really interesting I wanted to tell you too is that usually when I have a book, I highlight the parts that I like. And this book was so good that I probably should have highlighted the parts that weren't meaningful to me because there's so much just highlighter all
what
over
a
the
sweet
book.
Thing to say.
It's really true.
Thank
it's
you.
Just like every page, I'm just like,
thank you.
One thing you say in there is you say, and this is true for all of us, we need to drop this. You say, comparison is the death of joy, and the only person you need to be better than is the one you were yesterday.
Yeah.
So speak to that just for a second.
Well, this is a massive, I don't know if men experience this, but this is a massive problem with women, is they are constantly comparing themselves to her life, to her Instagram feed, to her kids, to her marriage. They're comparing their real life to someone else's highlight reel.
Sheesh.
And so they are forever coming up lacking. They forever feel like they're not enough. And I get it, because the times that you tend to compare yourself are when you are most insecure about something. So you're like, well, I'm not sure how to do this. I'll look outside myself to find the answer.
Mm.
I always talk about when I was a new mom, that was when I was most insecure. And so I would look at Pinterest. I would look at magazines. I would try and see, like, how do celebrity moms do it?
Mm.
And then I would just cry in a puddle on the ground because I, like, couldn't get it together.
Mm.
I'm like, oh, she's got six-pack abs with a two-month-old baby, and I'm still in the jeans that I was wearing, you know, at 9 months.
Mm.
So comparison is the death of joy. And not only does it kill your joy, it kills your motivation. It kills your energy or your desire to move forward. It makes you more insecure. And so I'm like, put your head down. It's like a math test in eighth grade. Keep your eyes on your own paper. Mm. Like, focus here. Stop looking at what everyone else is doing. Stop paying attention to her life and live your own.
Yes.
You have, like, start in this space. The only person you have to be better than is who you were yesterday.
So
that
good.
Is my, that's my why. Yeah. That's my, that is what I am on earth. Yeah. Like, what is my greatest value in the world is I want to be a better version of myself every day.
I love it.
Like, I might not always get there, but every day I'm striving. I want to be a better mom and wife and leader and teacher and writer and everything. It's like, man, whatever you're doing, do as unto the Lord. Like, every day I'm trying to be better. And so, like, it doesn't matter if I'm not as great as 50 million other people,
yes.
as long as, like, am I better than I was yesterday?
Mm.
Yeah.
What cogent advice. You're special. Like, this, you're special. What you're doing is special. And so good. Along those lines, let me ask you some things people wouldn't ask you.
Yeah.
Life's changed for you, right? And I think anytime people listen to this, maybe you step to a new level or a new space.
Yeah.
You talked about anxiety earlier. I know the answer to this,
yeah.
but I want you to answer it for them. But do you still find yourself with anxiety about the next level, the next space?
Oh, yeah.
Also, there's some pressure, I think, sometimes if I've stepped out, I don't want to fall
yeah.
either. So speak to that. For those, there's different people at different levels, but there are people who are like, I've got to a new level.
Yeah.
I got to a new promotion. Or
yeah.
I have started a business. There's something new. And then that extra, can,
yes.
I think, anxiety can hit. Are you experiencing
yeah.
any of that? And why
so,
are you dealing with
well,
it? What's the solution?
Well, I'll tell, like, this is such an incredible story and, like, a brag on who you are and your heart. But after the book surpassed
Jeez.
Everything.
Yeah.
And I, for months after it came out, really struggled. It was very overwhelming for me. And I, if you can't tell, I'm a fixer.
Yeah.
And I don't like to live in a state of any kind of suffering. So for months, I'm struggling and I can't get past it. And I read every book and I'm listening to I'm trying everything and I can't. And it was something you said on your podcast one day that really resonated with me. And it was like, it was the answer to prayer.
Mm.
After months of searching, you said something like with professional athletes
yes.
that you had coached, that there comes a time in their lives and careers where the success surpasses the vision that they had for themselves.
Yeah.
And they will unintentionally start to self-sabotage
Correct.
Because they're so uncomfortable with where they are.
Yeah.
And that was me.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy,
yeah.
holy crap.
Yeah.
And it was as simple as you were like, dream a bigger vision.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
need a bigger vision.
Yep.
So that was such a gift.
Yeah.
But
Thank
navigating
you.
This has been a lot.
Yeah.
And it does feel like, holy smokes, this is
yeah.
a lot of responsibility. And I do, now I have worked my butt off to get here.
Yes.
But I also believe God gave me this platform.
Both are
and
true.
So that is a massive responsibility and I want to do that well.
Yes.
So yeah, it's a lot to,
and
it's a lot to navigate.
And I want to acknowledge that you're the right person mm-hmm. and you were chosen to do this and you are special. Like, your whole existence has prepared you for this moment. Like,
mm-hmm.
I really believe that about you. And one of the other things I've told you is that I also want to help you. Like,
yeah.
I also think the other thing when you step into that new space is to dream that bigger vision and also to seek out and surround yourself with people who are going
yes.
to support you and believe in you and push you and hold you accountable. And don't be afraid to ask for their help.
Yeah.
People like me, people like you,
yeah.
at the right time, we want to be there for you. I want to help
yeah.
you create this change. Because you're pioneering, you're trailblazing. Like
yeah.
in 5 years and in 10 years, there are going to be other They're not going to be another you, but they're going to be other women
Absolutely.
In this space creating a movement, making a difference. But you're really doing it right
yeah.
now, right? I'm so proud of you. And,
yeah.
and people today are seeing why. Like,
yeah.
you're just a reservoir of realness, but also, like, real depth, real information. This content, you don't hear other places.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm curious for you, a couple more things. I'm enjoying this so much. Like, I just want to extend it a little
yeah.
more, just so you know.
Yeah.
Like, but... Like, what is next for you? What's the next thing? Because she's, just so you know, guys, like, sought after, crazy good woman on the stage when she speaks. Like, go, trust me, go see her speak. Go look at clip, like, crazy good on the stage. obviously you've got this gift for writing that's been not just a gift, but it's something that you've worked on. But what is the next level, the next space for you?
Well, so the next book, thank God how it worked out, was I sold the next book before this one came out. Mm. Praise the Lord. Mm. Because if I had had this kind of success, I don't know if I would have written, you know, I don't know if I would have written again.
Yeah.
Because even now people are like, well, you know, you're never, and I'm like, again, I go back to my why. My why is I want to be a better version of myself every day.
Yep.
And my mission, the reason I feel like I'm on this planet is I want to give other people tools to do the same.
Yeah.
So then if this book comes out in March, it's called Girl, Stop Apologizing. Mm. So stop apologizing for who you are. Stop feeling shame about what you're called to do. It's about how do you achieve a goal? Mm. Like I break it down. It's the most tactical, tangible advice I've ever offered.
Good.
And if 10 people, if it resonates with one person, then I lived out my mission.
Yeah. It's probably more like 10 million, but it's great that we'll at least get 10.
Oh my gosh.
It's probably gonna be.
But yeah, so the next book comes out in March, and then conferences are my passion.
Yeah.
Because my life was changed at a conference. Yep. My marriage was changed at a conference. There's something that happens when you are immersed.
Yes, I agree.
For a certain amount of days when you sort of pull yourself outside of your life and you get to see a different perspective.
You change your environment.
Yes.
That's a big thing.
And it's like, it doesn't have to be mine. It doesn't have to be Ed's. But like, if you are listening to this right now, you got to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk to the camera.
Yeah.
You've got to go to a personal growth conference.
Yes.
Like you've got to find a teacher that resonates with you
and
that sparks something in you to think in a different way.
Yeah.
So it's our big passion, and we're doing a bunch of events in 2019.
How do they find the events, and how do they find you on social? Because I want them to be able to, obviously, you need to go get Girl Wash Your Face. You're going to get, obviously, every book she writes here going forward. But how do they find your events, and how do they find you
on
social?
So all of our events are called Rise.
Yep.
So all of our events are at letsrise.co or on Instagram at letsrise.co. And I am Miss Rachel Hollis. Instagram's my favorite platform to hang out with. You know who one of our speakers is at the next Rise?
No.
It's Nick.
Oh gosh, he's so unbelievable.
I found him on your podcast on the podcast like 10 times and was like, if you have an event, you gotta book this guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, I gotta book this
guy. I love him. He spoke before me at the event I was just telling you about
really?
This weekend.
Oh,
I was so proud of him. I watched him speak and I was gonna tell you, he stepped into his own. He's at a whole new
so
level.
Good.
And so I'm so
good.
Glad you're both getting together. That makes me feel warm inside. That's
no,
great.
That's all you, connector that you are.
I love it. Okay, a couple more things.
Yeah.
Because the sun's setting on you
here. I bet this hair color looks great, though.
You are. You're shining. You're shining. She got her hair done today.
I did.
So I am a woman mm-hmm. now. I know I have a deep voice for mm-hmm. a woman. But I get a chance to have 2 minutes with you. Mm. And I said, girl, I just want to be happier and I want to find what my purpose is, my passion is. Mm-hmm. How do I do that? What would be the steps you tell me to take to do that?
So the people that I most often hear this from are moms. Mm. And so often what I hear is I've lost myself. I've lost myself. I'm taking care of these babies or I'm taking care of my partner. I don't know who I am anymore. Mm. And the question I always ask is, who were you before you belonged to them? Mm. Who were you before you were their mom? Mm. Who were you before you were his partner? Who were you? What did you love? Mm. And one of the things, this is true for men and women, is that I believe most of us, regardless of our childhood, most of us had something in our childhood that we were passionate about, mm-hmm. that made us excited, that we loved. It gave us something to look forward to. And then somewhere along the way, we got it in our heads that if we couldn't attach monetary value to it, that it had no value. And so I'm like, you know, people are like, I'm like, what were you into? What did you love? And they're like, well, it's dumb. I'm like, what was it? They're like, I loved choir. I'm like, go join a choir.
Wow.
Or like, I loved theater. I'm like, go join a theater. Go. Mm. Just because you can't make money at it doesn't mean it doesn't have value.
Wow.
Your passions, your dreams, your goals are valuable because they matter to you.
Mm.
And it doesn't matter if they make sense to anybody else. It doesn't matter if your husband doesn't get it or your mom doesn't get it or your friends think weird. It's what lights your heart on fire. You are a being, like you are a soul that deserves to have to have a spark, to have something, to have time for yourself, to have self-care, to go to dinner with your friends, to read a book. Just we lose this, like, we devote ourselves to other people and we lose the idea that we are a person whose feelings mattered. So who were you before you were this person? Start there.
Oh my gosh. See, what's crazy about your advice is that should be to a man too.
Yeah.
It should be to a man. And I just feel like I want to stop there, but I don't want to stop the conversation. I want the conversation with you and I to continue. And so I want you all to know something. Rachel and I are talking about doing some things together that I think you'll see us doing down the road. I want you following her on social media. I want you going to her conferences. I want you reading her books. I just want to acknowledge something about you. Like, I think you're a blessing. Like, today for me was a blessing. I knew something was really great going to happen based on seeing your content, but then, like, meeting you and going, I just love this woman. And I mean that, Dave, you know, in the most beautiful way. Right?
The I'll platonic, brotherly way.
I'll send you my version of the email.
Yes.
But, like, I love you. I just think you're amazing, and I just feel like I love meeting people, regardless of what they do, who I feel like are really running in the lane on their path. Mm-hmm. Like, they're chasing their real purpose. They're on track. The road's going to be... We have all kinds of turns for you and everybody listening to this that are going to be unexpected and all part of happening for you.
Yeah.
But I feel like, I just feel like I'm sitting with somebody who's become a rock star, but I'm actually, if you were a stock, I'd be a buy. Like, I just feel like I'm just watching this star take off.
Thank you.
Because you're going to help so many people, because so many people need your message. And the most important thing for me, because I'm a male listening to this, is men, you better listen to this, because these are the things the women in your life, the daughters in your life, your mother in your life are struggling with, they're thinking about, they need help with. And we, the women in our lives help us so much. Let's help them too,
yeah.
Right? They don't need us.
Yeah.
But we need to be helping them because it's part of our calling
yeah.
as well. So you help me today.
No. Well, I wanna acknowledge you in this way because
okay.
I feel like I am a fan. Like, you know this. Right. I was such right. a fan. And I feel like I have this unique opportunity right now with so many people who are watching mm. or listening that they don't get to sit with you and say this. Mm. Like, so much of what I know is because you taught it to
Thank
me.
Thank
you. You've been my mentor for
Thank
a long time
you.
Before you knew who I was.
Thank you.
And so I just want to acknowledge
Thank
the
you.
Work that you're doing here, the work that these men are doing
Thanks,
here.
Guys.
And the wisdom and the insight that you bring to people every single week and how much, like, there are times I'm having a hard week
yeah.
and I literally go look at your Instagram.
Thank
I'm like,
you.
I'm going to find a video from Ed. He's going to say something right now that's going to fire me up. So I know that you know it, but
yeah.
I just want to acknowledge you
Thank
back.
You.
Like,
I love
it
that.
Matters so much what you're doing,
that's,
and I'm so appreciative of it.
I sense that, and I appreciate that. And I'm always a text or a phone call away for you, too,
yes,
as you know.
I know
so.
That.
Thank you for today.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
Like, it flew by. And I've never done an interview like this before. This
yeah.
is unique and it's different. And the conversation was different. And your answers were different. And they were correct and right on and helped me. To be honest with you, I'm thinking about Bella.
Yeah.
As we were talking, I'm thinking about my little girl. And there's just some things you said today. I can do a better job with her and supporting her.
Yeah.
And I have a deeper understanding of maybe some of the things she's thinking and going through.
Yeah.
And I got that from the book, but I got more of it even today. So thanks so much. Like, honestly, guys, I hope those of you that listen to this today, I know what you're all thinking. You're like, how do I get more? And so I want you following her. You've got where to find her. And then obviously, you know with me where to find me or you wouldn't be listening to this. I just want to remind you all, if you enjoyed today,
yeah.
tell people about it. Mm-hmm. Spread the word. Share it with people because I want more people to know Rachel. I want them to know her message. I want them to know who she is and what she stands for. Most importantly, I want people in the world to know that people like Rachel exist
yeah.
and that they can find her. And so you found me. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done it, if you're listening to it. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're watching. Every day on Instagram, I
First
do the two-minute drill.
Two-minute
drill! You haven't won yet? By the way, Dave won once. Her husband won once. But
not on purpose.
Not on purpose, but we did. It was a weird deal. But we have a two-minute drill on Instagram every day. If you make a post, if you make a comment to my post in the main feed, the first 2 minutes with the hashtag MaxOut, cool stuff happens because we pick a winner every day.
Yep.
If you do it in the first 2 minutes, you can win gear, my book, sometimes the coaching call with me. I might tweak someone like Rachel.
I'll do it.
She'll do one, so you get a 15-minute call with Rachel.
Yeah.
And then if you miss the first 2 minutes, as long as you just make one every day, we pick someone who makes one every day at any time. So thank you for
yeah.
that. Do you have 15 minutes with Rachel? Now you know you're going to comment. So please do that and continue to max out your lives. And God bless you. And thank you, Rachel, so
oh
much for
gosh,
today.
Oh, my gosh. This is the best.
It was awesome. Max out, everybody.
Hey, y'all. We should hang out on more than just this podcast.
which means that the next time you're on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube, be sure and type Rachel Hollis into the search bar and check out all the fun things we have going on your favorite platform.